The Word of God from the New Testament, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. That's the end of the reading.
Amen. Let's pray before we dive into the Word. Lord God, we thank you that you are a mighty God, you are a faithful God, and that your mightiness and faithfulness is surrounded by your love too. And we thank you for all these things, God, that you love your children, that you protect your children in a world that sometimes above our heads, you are greater than anything that we face, and we thank you for that grace that you give us. We pray in this time, Lord, we may just renew our trust, our obedience, and our faithfulness to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's hard to kind of scroll back in your memory banks, but last month I talked about spiritual warfare. And I've been teaching from Ephesians, and a quick recap of Ephesians. Ephesians is sort of like, in just six chapters, I feel it's sort of the letter that I go to when I want to see like the big picture of what God is doing. Sometimes you get so caught up in the small details of life, you forget about like the big picture of what God is doing in the world and in history. And I think Ephesians is a good thing. And basically he's saying, God has a great plan. And the good news is that he has included you in this great plan. He has saved you, he's called you, he's adopted you. And not just you, but he's made a new family. He's starting a new thing on this earth through Christ, through his church. And you have been invited into this amazing plan that God is going to do. And as he's about to wrap up this whole amazing letter, just like looking at the big plan of what God is doing, he says, you know, and now finally, I just want to tell you something. I want to tell you that in this world, this great plan is definitely going to happen, but you're going to have to fight for it. You know, we are living in a world where we're not just fighting against people, against flesh and blood, but we are fighting a spiritual battle as well. And that's what I talked about last month, that we are in a time of like spiritual warfare, if you will. And just to quote from the Message, kind of a modern day translation of the Bible, it says this in Ephesians chapter 6. God is strong and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. And that's really what I just wanted to kind of pick up from. You see, in this world, many things, and I was talking about there's like three enemies that we kind of have to struggle with. It's not just the devil. It's actually we also struggle with the world that we live in, a world that is not seeking God, that is anti-God, if you will, anti-Christ at times. Right? We have three enemies. We have the devil, we have the world, and then the third enemy is even our own nature. Sometimes we just want to choose against God and we want to choose ourselves. There are all these like anti-God forces in the world. Many things are trying to push us off. You know, the real danger about the Christian life is that we kind of think that, you know, you're saved. Everything is fine now. You know, just relax. Just wait till Jesus comes back. You don't have to do anything. And then we walk through our weekly lives and we wonder, why does it feel like I'm always being pushed off balance? Do you know what I'm talking about? You go to work and you just feel like life should be simple. I am God's child and I'm here to enjoy the life that God has given me. But often you're being pushed off balance. Something comes your way. A crisis comes your way. A challenge. A dispute at work. A fight within the mind. An addiction that you have. And constantly we feel pushed around. And I know I do. And that is exactly what Paul is trying to say, is that God's desire for you is not to be pushed around. But as it says in verse 13, that when that day of evil comes, when that challenge comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And I know that everyone probably in this room would love to be someone. When you face adversity, when you face challenges and battles, you'd want to be someone who ends up standing in the end. And that's God's desire for you. But the good news is this, is that you do not have to try and stand and balance and fight by yourself. God wants to fight with you. You don't fight alone. God is faithful to give you the strength that is required for a daily life with Christ. He doesn't just save you and abandon you. The Holy Spirit has been sent to you that you may be able to stand when things get difficult. When everyone in the world gets pushed around and they just don't know where to go next, you will be that person who will be able to stand on a rock and stand firm. That's God's heart and that's God's desire for you. Many of you might come here today feeling like you're really spiritually struggling and just falling apart everywhere. And that's not God's heart for you. That's not what God is intending for you. He longs for you to be strong and mighty, and he wants to help you do it. You don't have to do it on your own. Which brings us to Ephesians chapter 6. You see, there's this kind of interesting phrase he says. He says, to put on the full armor of God. And for us, that sounds very interesting. It sounds like God's very militant or something. But more than that, he's kind of appealing to the culture at that time. You see, in the Greek culture at that time, they had this kind of understanding from their backgrounds that the gods of the past, what they would do is that the heroes of old would receive this holy armor from their gods, and that they'd be equipped to do these great heroic things. And you see why Paul is kind of referring to this. He's kind of saying, like, I see you very much in the same light. You see, the true God, the true living God, looks at you as his hero, as his great and powerful one. And today, maybe you're thinking, like, I don't feel like a real great and powerful one for God. Have you seen my life? Have you seen what I'm struggling with? And God is saying, no, no, no. Don't look at yourself through your own eyes. I see you as great. So take on that great armor of God that I have prepared for you. Because I long to see you do great things for my kingdom. And you can't do it by yourself. You do it by putting on my armor. And it's not a one-time thing. As we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, when he says, be strong in the Lord, it sounds almost like it's a one-time thing. But if you look at the original word, it actually means, like, be continually empowered. This is not a one-time thing. The Christian life is not like, okay, it's just like, you know, when exams are coming up, you just have to cram overnight and just hope it works out. And then once you get over it, it's done. The Christian life is a constant reminder that we are constantly to be called to be strong in God's strength. We must be ready to be strong at all times. You know, I was just thinking about how the retreat was so wonderful. I had such a great time this last weekend. But, you know, it's often after we get back from these wonderful kind of spiritual experiences. But right after, it's like we become very vulnerable because we're thinking, wow, we did something really great. And now I need to recuperate and relax. And it's often at those places where we forget that we have to be continually strong in the Lord. And God is asking us to arm ourselves with his armor. You don't have to create it. He's already given you the tools, well-made tools, tools that are completely sufficient for the task at hand. But the thing about the armor is that you're only strong as your weakest part. And what do I mean by that? I don't know if you guys remember a little skit. I guess he was referring to the movie 300, and they're talking about we have to keep formation if we're going to be this, if we're going to fight the enemy. And then one of them, I think he had to go to the bathroom or something, and the whole army collapsed. Why is that? Was it because, like, perhaps the other two were not strong enough? It's no, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And today, what I'd like us to do is, like, I'm going to go through the inventory of God's armor. And we are called to put on all the parts of God's armor. And rather than kind of approaching it with, like, oh, what am I good at? Today, I want to see, as I mentioned, each armor. And I'm sure some of you might think, like, wow, I need all of it. I'm really lacking. But if there's one part of the armor that you feel today like, you know, that's the part I really could kind of work on more, I encourage you to think about it. And so as we list it, you know, if you want to take notes, if something comes to your heart, your mind, something that's going on in your life right now, I'm going to be giving different reflections about each piece. But remember, you're only as strong as your weakest point. And Satan is not so much interested in your strongest points, but he's interested in your weakest points. And so as I talk about this armor of God and putting it on, what does that mean to put on the armor of God? I'll be going through that, but particularly try and zero in on, like, which piece is kind of speaking to you the most. And this is the charge for us, that we put on the armor of God. And the first article that is mentioned in this letter is the belt of truth. And this is the piece that holds it all together. The belt of truth. You know, from day one, we read that the thing that made Adam and Eve fall was that Satan used a lie. And often, I think we kind of cartoon the lies of the world, of Satan and ourselves, and we think, like, you know, he just says really crazy things, you know, and it's easy to discount and to tell what is truth and what is not truth. But the thing is, the way that Satan lies in our life is not obvious. The real dangerous thing about the lies of the enemy is that they're not completely false. They are true in many ways, but something key is removed. You know, a perfect example in the fall was this, is that God actually said, Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything in this garden. Just stay away from this one, okay? That's going to give you a lot of trouble. So what does Satan do? He comes along and says, oh, did God really say that you couldn't eat from these things? You know, he just turned it around very slightly. And often, when we come before God, God reveals his truth. And many people feel like they have a very strong opinion and an authority, and they know the things about what God says is true. But we have to be very discerning people. Many things sound very appealing in this world. And the dangerous part is not that it's all wrong, it's that it is true, but something really key is left out. And if we don't live as people of truth, if we don't live as people who test what we hear with the Word of God, we don't live as people who kind of reflect and kind of examine, we're easily taken advantage of. And I think why it's called the belt of truth, just to kind of conjecture here, in the armor, the belt was the thing that held it all together. If we don't have this kind of connecting piece of truth, all of it, we just fall apart. Many Christians are rendered kind of ineffective because they just simply don't know what's true. And, like, whenever some new fad comes out, they just run along with it. And they're difficult to be used effectively in God's call and his commands. The next thing I want to talk about is the breastplate of righteousness. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that we're to guard our hearts because it's the wellspring of our life. And I really feel the breastplate guarding the most important part, really, the heart. And why do I say that? It's because righteousness, as we read about it, many people think, like, are you righteous or are you not righteous? And righteousness is actually about being made right with God. It's not so much what you do, but it's about what God has done. And often what Satan is most eager to do in our daily lives when we struggle, one of the things that really makes us kind of poison in our hearts is you begin to wonder, am I right before God? Am I good enough before God? And many, many things start happening if you struggle with that. Am I righteous before God? we begin to think, am I worthy enough? Am I worthy to be here? Am I, like, as I'm sitting in these pews, am I a fake? Did I do enough to be here today? And then what starts happening is you start living this kind of secret life. You start guarding your heart. You try and be secret from God and from others. Because you don't know what righteousness is about. We read in the Word that righteousness doesn't come by what you do, but it comes by faith. It comes as a gift from Jesus Christ. Righteousness is about being right with God, and that only happens through God. And why I think this is an important part, guarding the breastplate, is that why is it guard your heart? Is that many of us have these hearts that we feel just are not good enough to come before God. Many of us, I think the battle is here in the heart. Do you feel that your heart is righteous before God? And many of us might struggle with guilt. And we've been rendered sort of ineffective through these attacks upon, like, your worthiness to be here. And today, I want to say that no one is worthy to be here. But because God has put his breastplate of righteousness in your life, you have been made worthy through Christ. You see, we do righteous things, we do good things for God, but it's only through the righteousness of Christ. And without Christ, we don't have that righteous breastplate, of course. But if Christ is in you, that guards your heart. And the next thing I want to talk about is the feet shod with the readiness for the gospel. And so when I was kind of studying this one, I thought about, oh, the feet is the gospel. But actually, one thing that I overlooked often when I read this is that the feet is actually equipped with readiness for the gospel. And so, if you will, the first is the belt of truth, righteousness, and I think the third one, the emphasis, I'm starting to think now, is actually on readiness. And what do I mean by readiness? Why is that like God's armor? And I was thinking about it, and I realized that, you know, an easy target is a target that does not move. You know, a target that just sits still. And one of the easiest targets for the enemy is a slow-moving Christian. One of the easiest things to attack is a slow-moving Christian. What do I mean by that? I mean someone who is slow to move in obedience. God speaks to them all the time through speakers and through church and through the Bible and through prayer, constantly talking to them about how they should be moving in their life. But they're very slow to move in reaction to what God is saying. They're slow to see the opportunities for God's gospel. You know, when our feet are not shod with readiness for God, we become these kind of slow-moving, lethargic beasts just roaming around. Very little threat. You know, you wouldn't be really afraid of, like, this army that's like, oh, wow, this huge army is coming. But they're just kind of sitting there. Not really a threat. You could be as impressive with all your resources and all the things that you have, but if they're not coming towards you, if they're not charging you, I mean, how much of a threat is that? And you know, it's interesting when I talk to people who have a slow-moving faith, who have a lethargic faith, a faith that they take in many things. They take in many intellectual truths, like many theological proofs, but then they don't do anything about it. It often leads to a spirit of lethargy. It leads to a spirit of false comfort and spiritual pessimism. How often have we heard some Christians saying, why bother doing it? What's the point? It's too difficult. I'll do it, sure, but I just want to see someone else do it first. And the people can have all sorts of armor. You can have all sorts of impressive things on the other parts, but if your feet aren't moving, then you've been rendered ineffective. And then it says in the scripture, but above all of these things, the important thing is that you put on the shield of faith. You see, it's with this shield of faith that we extinguish all the attacks towards us. And I think this is kind of important. You can have all these armors, but there is the key armor that deflects attacks is a shield. And why is that? It says that so you can defend yourselves from the fiery arrows of the enemy. And why is it the shield of faith that is the most important way that we protect ourselves? And I believe it's because the most defeated Christian that I've met is a Christian who cannot trust God. I mean, today, for this month, I'm doing a Bible study in Sunday school on faith. And I've been really thinking about this. A Christian without faith, without trust in God, is constantly being attacked and constantly being accused and rendered ineffective for God. In fact, Hebrews is so bold to say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because faith is a trust that God rewards those who seek Him. But if we don't have that trust, when things come, when trials come, we fall into doubt. We fall into insecurity. We wonder, are God's promises true? Does He truly love me this way? Can He truly provide for me in this way? And one of the names that is often referred to Satan is that he is the accuser. He accuses us. He tells us all of these untruths. And unless we hold up our faith, our trust in God, and refute them, we become subject to them, and then we become insecure Christians. And when you become an insecure Christian, you can't really do anything. You don't want to really follow Him because you can't trust that He's going to follow through with you. When He asks you to do great things for God, you wonder, like, oh, can He really do that through me? You wonder, if I really make this sacrifice for God, can He really provide for me in this difficult time? And these kind of Christians are very vulnerable and very exposed. It's only when we hold up our faith and we say, you know what, more than the things that I see around me, I will hold up my trust in God. And without that faith, we live a life where we feel defeated each week. We're wondering, like, things just come at me. I'm just victimized. I continually get thrown at these arrows, and I don't know what to do. And I want to encourage us that we hold up our shield of faith, hold up our trust in God when things get difficult. And the next piece is the helmet of salvation. And this, I was thinking about, I read this kind of interesting article that Rhea sent me, is that a lot of these scientists are actually trying to locate, like, what part of the brain is kind of registering spiritual experiences? I mean, what part of the body is kind of registering spiritual experiences? And I believe it was, like, I forgot, it was the frontal lobe, I think it was. But it was very interesting about how the mind, a lot of how we perceive and understand faith and spiritual things is in the mind. And I was thinking it's very appropriate that the helmet protects our mind and our brain. But you know, the head is also the most fragile part of the body. And why I think we kind of need to guard our minds and our hearts with the helmet of salvation is that a lot of spiritual battles, I find, is in the mind. You know, many times, I don't know if you wake up, you're wondering, like, is it worth doing this? You come into a difficult thing and your mind starts going crazy. I don't know if you're that kind of person, that you just overthink things way too much. Yeah, yeah, we have some volunteers here, right? I mean, I am one of those. You just begin to think, and then you're 5,000 steps away from reality because you've gone so far ahead in your mind. And many of us need to stop and step back and say, God has saved me, to come back to truth again. A lot of the battles that we face are these battles like Satan battles over our minds. You know, some of the people I've met, they're really gifted in God, they're really talented in God, they're just really compassionate, good people. But somehow, through trauma or through a negative experience, their minds have really doubted, can God save me? You know, is He really someone that is mighty to save, as we're singing today? And our minds continue to make up all these arguments about why He can't do it. And a lot of the battle that we face is with our minds. And so I want to just encourage some of us, you know, if this is something that you struggle with, you know, I encourage you, do you have a place in your life where you can kind of just stop the chatter in your brain and kind of take in something else? Take in the Word. Do you have a kind of a quiet place? And I really want to encourage young families. You know, you know, several years ago, you might have had this time where, you know, it was just you and your spouse, and life was simpler. But, you know, as you know, like, children don't follow this easy schedule. And even people who are older, you know, life continues to get more complicated. There's more things to think about. And your life gets more and more crowded up here. And I want to encourage you. Do you have, like, a refuge place where you can kind of clear the table and say, Lord, let not my circumstances fill my mind, but let your thoughts fill my mind. And, you know, up to this point, it's interesting is that all of these things that I've mentioned have been only defensive things. And it wouldn't be very useful to have, like, someone with an army of people who can't attack. And rest assured, we're not to be, like, passive Christians. God has also called us to have the sword of the Spirit, our only offensive weapon. And what is this offensive weapon? It's the Word of God. It's the weapon that we don't simply be people who are defending and always running away from things. We actually attack. We attack and expose the lies of anti-God things in our spirit of our day and age. We're not just simply supposed to be good people, but we're people that have some authority, that have something that we can kind of fall back on, something that is true, something that can contribute, not just simply defend. And it's the Word of God that speaks out authority into our lives. It's not us. You know, many of us try and attack with our own opinions and our own arguments, but they fail often. I think about, I guess maybe some of you probably do not even have ever seen this movie, but there was this movie called Indiana Jones. I don't know if you remember this. Wow. You know, and you know what's funny is, like, when I say, like, wow, I'm getting old, and I'm thinking, like, you know, there's older people here. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say those things. Anyways, I'm not old. I'm young and beautiful. Thank you. Anyways, but there was one scene I find always amusing. It's like, there's a scene where, you know, our hero Indiana Jones comes onto the scene, and he's always looking very cool. And then this terrifying enemy comes up, and he has his sword, and he's screaming, and he's doing all these tricks with his sword. And he's like, are you, you know, like, oh, wow, aren't you afraid of me now? And then he just kind of looks at him and just shrugs his shoulders, and then he just shoots him, and then he just falls down. But often, I was just thinking, like, you know, as Christians, we kind of come to the world and we're thinking, like, oh, wow, this week, it's going to be such a battle. We think of, like, all the ways that we're being attacked in our lives, in our families, in our relationships. There's so many spiritual battles. His life is so burdensome. It just seems like this guy just swinging his sword. Oh, man, this week is going to cut me up. Have you ever felt like that? Like, I don't want to face this week. This week is going to be so difficult. It's like someone's screaming at you, like, with a sword, and he's just running at you. And the whole time, God is kind of just saying, like, you do realize you have a gun inside your pocket, do you? You know, but often, like, we get so caught up in the enemy there and the impressiveness of it. And Satan often comes at us screaming with his sword, saying, like, oh, I'm going to get you, like, man, aren't you afraid? And God is saying, like, why are you afraid? You have the gun. And what is that great gun? Like, you know, and many people come, and I just sort of, like, was reading this, and I was very impressed by this for me, was that the sword of the Spirit, there is actually one more piece of the armor. And I feel like Paul had to kind of fit it in because it didn't quite fit with that pagan template he was working with. And he said, finally, pray in the Spirit. What makes us powerful people of the Word? Is it just simply reading devotional plans, reciting things? No. I've met many people who can do very good Bible trivia, but do not live powerful Christian lives. What makes the Word powerful? What makes you a great wielder of the Word? You are a person of prayer. It is when prayer and the Word come together that the Word comes alive. You know, many of us may be doing devotionals, but it is in prayer when we ask God to bring to light, to inspire, and to make the Word come alive. That is when we learn how to use the Word powerfully. You know, if our battle is spiritual, then we have to face it on spiritual terms. And what is more spiritual than prayer? And I took a great length last month to talk about prayer. And in prayer, it's the place that we acknowledge that there is a world greater than what we see. And it comes full circle. We don't win our battles simply by being disciplined enough. We win our battles through the Spirit of God, through prayer.
And today, I just wanted to, as I close, to challenge us. What is that place or that area in my life that I need to develop more? Is it truth? Is it an understanding of righteousness? Is it readiness? Is it faith? Is it that struggle of salvation in the mind? Is it about the word? And as we struggle with these things, I encourage you to kind of like find a way that, what's a way that I can begin to develop this again in my life? And as we do that, I trust that all that we face in this world, God has given us all that we need to face the challenges to come. And so this week, you know, this week and last month, I've been talking a lot about how the Christian life is not this victimization. You know, it's not this kind of passive thing where you just take it in and you get beat up. There is a fight that we're called to, an activity, an active kind of obedience. And so to really think about that, that we're here at this church not simply to take in and to kind of receive all the time, but we're here to call to actively do something. But to temper that, next week I want to talk about there are also times of rest. There's times when we must also receive from God too. And it's this constant rhythm of action and rest. And I'll be talking about that next week. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray for our church that you would help us to be strong in battle, that we would not face our weeks and our challenges feeling that we are defeated all the time. But God, you have given us the tools that we need to be victorious in the struggles that we face. Lord God, would you empower us again by the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us to be people who stand. When trials come, when tests come, we are people who stand strong in the Lord. And when everything is said and done, we are still standing. Let us be your people who stand for you. We pray this in Jesus' name.